2017 music? Is that what this is?
Almost. Yeah, it's old actually.
Well, it's new to me.
Right.
The 2017 music.
All right.
Sweet, man.
That's
brand new music.
That's actually, I didn't make that up, okay? I'm thinking this year, for the intro music, I'm going to pick a different song from an artist every
episode. We don't have the rights to that stuff.
No, we don't need the rights to it. I think you have like 20 seconds or something like that.
You have 11 seconds, I think.
11 seconds. We can do it in 11 seconds. But I'm making plugs for these songs. So if anybody has
how many seconds,
James is going to Google
music
it.
Music can I use? Let's see.
I got this from YouTube, seconds. And somebody played the whole song, and they don't have the rights to it.
It's going to take too long for me to look up. You can use up to 30 seconds, it says.
Up to 30 seconds, okay. So that was a song by Autolux, a band called Autolux. The song is Angry Candy, and it's going to be... I'm going to try and keep it varied, so we have a variety, and that way, if you like what you hear, you can go ahead and look it up, and you can purchase the song, download it on iTunes, or whatever you want to do.
I mean, why not risk being sued over... I mean, I looked on Google, and a bunch of things said 30 seconds, so that must be the case.
We're not going to get sued.
Yeah, we don't spend a lot of time researching laws and protecting ourselves. Good enough.
It's all over YouTube.
A bunch of these things say, can I use 30 seconds? That must mean that people can use 30
seconds. Can I use 30 seconds?
Yeah.
Well,
a bunch of people ask that question, so it must be the case. All right.
So well, if we find out otherwise, we'll go back to my own original music. But
no big deal.
We have like five listeners, so if one of those people works for EMI Records, they'll find out. But
what are you, the E in EMI? What are you, Herbert?
There's no E in.
You said EMI.
There's no E in EMI.
Oh, sounds like it. EMI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2017, everybody. Whoa.
Hey, here it is.
Whoa. What are we? Whoa. Have we? Did we do one? We did a New Year episode, or was it last year?
We did that last year. The last episode we did was 2 weeks ago, so that would have been in 2016.
Wow. So I've been we've been calling each year a season for us, a season of the shows. I mean, we're not really doing them that way,
but I don't remember what.
I think we're on like our fourth year or something.
We started
like that.
In 2012, I think.
Wow.
So
this will be our fifth year.
This will be our fifth year.
That's nuts.
Yeah. Right?
I think so.
No, 2016 would have been the fifth year.
Because
we did 2012. Right,
a full 2012, 13, yeah.
14, 15, that's, 16. So this is six.
That can't be right.
This can't be right. We can't.
If we've done 6 years already,
I've got to go back.
I'm just gonna phone this one in.
You might as well.
I'm going to phone in this whole year, just whatever happens.
Man, I don't even remember when we started. I think it's 2012, though.
That's crazy.
Because every time I have to put this into iTunes and... put a year on there. I always put the same year, and it's been 2012.
Yeah.
But now I have to know.
2012. Well, time's been flying, so I would actually believe it.
I can't. Episode 1, January 29, 2012. Holy moly, man.
Congratulations to us.
Yeah, we're in our fifth year. It's been 5 years since we did it. Yeah. We're now starting the sixth
the
year.
The sixth year.
Yeah, that's what I mean to say, yeah. So it's been 5 years since we did it, so this begins the sixth year.
Wow.
It's crazy, man.
Good for us. Nobody's giving me any credit.
Nobody gave us any credit.
Nobody's giving me any credit.
Okay, so this is like a free-for-all episode, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we've got lots of stuff.
Lots of things to talk about. Really not a lot of things to talk about,
Okay.
But maybe we'll stretch them out.
We'll stretch it out.
We'll stretch it out.
You know we can. Like, call me Stretch Armstrong.
Yeah, Armstrong.
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 Stretch Armstrong.
You got a lot of Armstrongs. you opened that jaw real easy. You got a lot of Armstrongs. all right, so Leonard got the Kong license.
Yeah, King Kong.
Look at that, man.
Skull Island.
Let's start with toy stuff here.
Okay.
We can go all over the place.
No, that was on my list.
I'm kind of excited about these. You know, Leonard did the core stuff. They do core.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
And they've
that's
been,
about all I can think of.
Yeah, they've been doing that for since
a long time.
The 80s.
Yeah.
And
so
maybe a little kids, you know, like a preschool toy here and there or something, but
I don't know of anything licensed they've ever done.
I don't think so.
I think it's always just been in-house generic knockoff
yes.
of other toy line type stuff, you know. If we're wrong, please tell us what they've done, because I can't think of anything they've done licensed. And, you know, Kong seemed like it's going to be a pretty big movie. They're yeah. already talking about Kong versus Godzilla in the future. They're already building towards another film.
Kong is a,
yeah, it's a built-in iconic franchise.
I mean, it's whether the movie actually does well or not.
So the fact that Leonard was able to snag this, I was saying this to you the other day, just tells me that the big boys, Hasbro and Mattel, are almost like, maybe, I don't know if they're scared of movie tie-ins or they just don't care about them anymore. They're too much of a risk for them to worry about it.
They might not be interested.
They may not be because they've got Marvel, they've got Star Wars, they've got WWE, DC Comics. They've got all these brands now that it's almost like they'd be competing with themselves if they go after another movie.
Yeah.
And there's so many superhero films now that Hasbro's tied up with that. There's so many Star Wars, Hasbro's tied up with that. Mattel's got WWE all the time, and they've got now the DC Comics films. They're all tied up with that. So, to do a line based on, and, you know, now Mattel has Jurassic World from Hasbro. So, to take on Kong, I guess would have been almost putting out a toy line to compete with all their other toy lines. So, now is the time for these smaller companies to jump in and go, okay, well, we'll do Kong then.
Yeah.
You know, we'll go after that, and we'll try it, because you know, if you do it right and make it a toy line that would appeal to kids, that can sell to kids, you can make some money here.
Yeah.
You know, don't just put out a crap toy line.
They might not have. It might not have cost them a whole lot to do it. I mean, they might have said, "Well, hey, we don't know if anybody's approached." I mean, the company probably didn't have anybody beating their doors down. I don't know.
Yeah, if Hasbro and Mattel is not going after you, and if Playmates isn't, then maybe the license was pretty cheap and easy to acquire.
I'm happy to see that. I'd like to see more of, we were talking about Zizzle doing the Pirates of the Caribbean and the A-Team figures from...
That was Jazzwares.
Jazzwares. Let some
those were fun.
Let some of those little companies come in and throw their hat in the ring.
Because that's what we need right now is some competition in the market. Some smaller guys. Because when we were kids growing up, we had...
Oh, there's lots.
It wasn't just Hasbro and Mattel. Yeah. It was Hasbro and Mattel and Playmates and Galoob and LJN and Kenner and
Trendmasters. Don't forget Trendmasters. Okay. And all those companies were also having like in-house brands.
Yeah,
you know, they were coming up with their own stuff instead of just being like, okay, what Spider-Man figure are we going to make next?
Do you remember that little line from like 10 years ago that was like dinosaurs and like they had people with them? You liked them a lot. They were like single carded, but you could find them at like Target and stuff. And it was like a main aisle type toy line. I don't remember what it was called or what the company was, but they were like little like stylized almost dinosaurs. Didn't seem like they were accurate to real dinosaurs, and they had like people with them. I don't remember what company did them. We'll have to think about that because I wonder what happened to that little company and what they were doing. And Resaurus, they were doing really cool stuff.
Resaurus was doing cool stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So it'd be nice to see some. Some little companies grab some big licenses and maybe turn into bigger companies that are doing more stuff and taking more chances as opposed to what we've got right
now. Lenard has done some cool things with Core as far as... I mean, you can tell it's a little bit cheaper, but the prices are cheaper too. I mean, you can get
you can get a vehicle and a figure and a couple other things.
You can buy like
$10.
You can buy like a pack of three figures and a small vehicle and some accessories for like $6 or something like that. And Kong might not be that cheap, but I'm sure they reused all the people figures are reused parts from their Core line. So
that big 18-inch Kong looks cool.
The Kong looks pretty neat.
The sculpting looks like a fun toy.
The packaging looks really nice.
Yeah. I have hopes for it.
It's neat.
It does remind me a little bit of what Trendmasters was doing. And that does worry me because Trendmasters, we all know what happened there.
Well, they have those funky sculpts on their people figures.
Yeah.
I mean, Lenard does. The Core figures are... Very.
That's what reminds me of the Trendmasters.
Right, very cartoony. So if they can make some money on this, then maybe next time around when they get a license, they can say, all right, let's put a little bit into some retooling. Let's do some tooling for some new stuff. So anyway, that's cool.
All right, what do you got?
Well, toy-wise, I'm going to switch it up. No, we're not.
It's up to you, man. I can just go through straight on my list because my list is all over the place. We don't have to stick with toy stuff.
Well, we might as well.
Sprinkle it around.
Well, I'm going to go straight to toys. NECA, NECA, what?
Really quick, what happened to those pretzels? Are they still in there?
They're still in there, man.
Go ahead and get those out, if you don't mind.
You know I don't mind.
I'd completely forgotten about those. I haven't had one since you opened them. Yeah, I'll have another one of those. All right.
So it's probably on your list too, but NECA has announced that they have the Blade Runner 2049 license.
I didn't write it down because I knew you had.
You knew I had written it down.
I knew you wrote that down. That's cool.
That's very cool, and I'm sure it will lead to classic Blade Runner figures.
I hope so. I'm just curious where the licensing lies, because a lot of times an original film isn't included when you get a sequel or something. You know, if you pick up this license, doesn't necessarily they got what came before, if it was a different film distribution company, or if they didn't sign likeness rights back then, it could make it difficult. But I'm sure that if there's a way, NECA's going to go after it.
Right.
Because Randy has said all along that Blade Runner was a dream license. Like, they really want to do Blade Runner. So if they're doing 2049, then maybe that'll open the door.
I hope so.
Just like when they did Planet of the Apes, the license was originally for the new films, and he really wanted to do the classic films too, and that came out of them doing the new film stuff.
Right.
So maybe it'll be the same case here.
I hope so. It's just one more film.
It's going to be great having a NECA Harrison Ford sculpt. It's
still cool.
That's going to be awesome.
An older Harrison. You could do whatever you want with it.
Do whatever you want with it.
Make it a Han Solo.
He's going to be in regular clothes. It's just going to be a Harrison Ford figure.
Turn it into... Make that Witness custom you've always wanted to do.
Delicious.
So that's big. That's big news.
Speaking of NECA... Sorry, I'm chewing some food here.
All right, I'm about to chew some food. I'm going to use my Armstrong.
Use all that Armstrong.
Armstrong to open these Little Debbie hearts.
There was a little bit of a brouhaha on Twitter today with NECA. So, the guy that does the NECA dioramas, he's got a Twitter account, NECA Dios.
Okay.
He posts all his things on there. He had posted a picture, and the caption was very clear. It said something like, doing a little rest and relaxation before the big Toy Fair rush, you know? And it was his personal workspace, and it had this quarter scale Darth Vader.
R&R to the layperson.
He was doing some work on.
Yeah.
And one of the toy news sites took the picture, and put it up as a headline saying, "Is NECA working on a quarter scale Darth Vader?" Mm. And everybody took this picture and started running with it. NECA's got quarter scale Star Wars on Facebook and Twitter and all this stuff. And Randy comes out on NECA, he's like, no. We never announced that. This is his personal stuff. He may be using his NECA Dios account to say this, but in no way, shape, or form is that our product. We've never said we have Star Wars. We've always said we don't. So it's, you know, from my eyes, it's pretty irresponsible of some of those toy news sites to take it and put that as a headline.
Yeah.
When you could easily just go to Randy at NECA and say, hey, is this? Instead of running with it, and, you know, they're so fast, though.
Mm-hmm.
So many sites, and all news organizations are guilty of this. You're so quick to get the scoop that you don't take the time to go, wait a second, we can easily validate this.
Let's figure out if this is true or not.
He's completely available to us. We can just go to him and say, hey, is this what you meant?
Yeah.
Is this? Instead of putting it up as a news article. That's irresponsible.
You see how quickly it can get out of hand?
And it did get out of hand. It got out of hand fast. There were every Facebook group I had was posting this picture.
Wow.
And saying, oh, but now they've removed it. They removed it pretty quickly once Randy came out and said, no. Which is good. That's good to remove it quickly. But then everybody took it, the removing quickly, as, ooh, this is further indication that something's going on because they're taking it down real fast. So
see how you can read into something too much if you want to believe it.
And I'm not naming the toy news site because they're a great toy news site, and I'm not going to badmouth them or say they've done a horrible thing here. It's a lesson learned for everybody that don't be so quick to post something if you can validate this. You know, like if you can validate it first.
Yeah,
it's just a lesson learned. But it was crazy to see how fast in the social media world it just spun out and it was everywhere.
Yeah,
so fast. It's just something to, you know, watch what you're doing.
I would say, for personally, I'm glad that NECA doesn't have a Star Wars license.
Me too.
Because that is everywhere.
It's everywhere. It's too much.
I'd rather not see that company get bogged down with that too, because how many Darth Vaders do you need?
Really?
Okay, let's see what I got. Oh, what should I do next? Okay. There's a couple of remakes coming out, or one is not technically a remake. They're both technically not remakes, but they're revisits, and so I'm not going to harp on the rules of remakes. We've done that many times.
Rules.
Rules. One is the Chips. Did you see the trailer?
I didn't see the trailer yet.
It's okay.
I was never a big Chips guy.
Right, and that's okay. It's plugged right into the revisit formula,
mm-hmm.
where you take the old thing, you make the leads incredibly stupid, you make them kind of goofy, you make them dumb.
Okay.
There's a lot of Wang jokes in there. There's like four in the trailer alone. It's like, whoa, you guys are really. You don't have much going here. What is the point of making a Chips movie? So that's happening.
Now, I'm trying to think. When did this first start happening? Where they took an old kind of, you know, more of a. I don't know if I would call those old shows serious.
Yeah.
But not like a parody. They weren't parodies.
Right.
When did they start doing that? Where they took a movie and made a parody of an old TV show? Was it Brady Bunch?
That's a good question.
Was maybe that the first one?
Brady Bunch was pretty far back. There was Starsky and Hutch.
Where they took an old show and almost made it into a parody of it. The film's a parody of that old show. Instead of doing a true
interpretation of
that old show. It might have been Brady Bunch. Might have been. Yeah, why did that become a thing? Why is that not a thing?
It's a thing
21
now.
21 Jump Street. I mean, they did it with
21 Jump Street.
I'm sure there's gonna be. It's just gonna be a constant.
Well, that's. It's not gonna stop. I mean, they're doing Baywatch. Yeah. Yeah, also, exactly. Is coming
it's a
out.
Parody
the same,
of it.
It's the same thing. So to bring to my next item, if I was Nate, I'd be pretty upset here because, they're doing. I personally am not that upset, but I have like sympathy pains for Nate. So Nate is a big fan of. I hope I'm not outing him here. I'm sure he's not embarrassed about this, but he's a big fan of the original Sherlock Holmes stories.
Okay.
Like the radio dramas and the old books. You know, mm-hmm. So those are serious detective stories, is what they are.
I can't believe you told everybody that Nate likes Sherlock Holmes.
I know. I'm gonna really catch some flack.
That's tough.
And they're cool stories, actually. And if you listen to the radio dramas, they're along the lines of like The Shadow or something, where it's like you have a serious detective story and it's a thriller, and there's, you know,
yeah,
it's pretty.
I'm
cool.
I'm gonna slip Nate a flash drive of the show before I put it up and see if he's okay.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Telling everybody that's about him liking Sherlock Holmes. Yeah. Why in the world did you like take that as a thing? I hope I'm not outing him here.
Well, it's just not mine to tell. That's all. This is Nate's.
It's not like it was gonna be this dark secret.
It was just Nate's fascination.
This terrible, like horrible, crappy show or something like that that nobody should like.
Nate likes Baywatch.
Nate really loves Liefeld Art. Okay, yeah, that would be something where you shouldn't tell people.
That'd be something.
You know, like you should check with somebody first.
Keep that to
yourself. Is it cool if I tell you everybody that you really like Rob Liefeld?
You like Liefeld.
But Sherlock Holmes, I think it's okay if
it's
you
okay.
tell people.
All right. Well. All right. I wasn't thinking. I didn't think that out. Okay, so Nate really likes Sherlock Holmes, and so they announced a couple years ago they had the movies with Iron Man in it.
With Robert Downey Jr., yeah.
Robert Downey Jr., which are like...
kind of weird,
like
comedy, modern takes on it.
Yeah, like modern, like everybody knows martial art. Like, it's, you know, it's that. You know, you
well,
all,
how's he think about it? What does he feel about those?
He saw them. I think he accepted them for what they were, but
okay.
Really, they didn't... touch. They didn't scratch that itch. They didn't get to what...
Maybe just enjoyable as films, but not Sherlock Holmes.
I don't even think... It was the first one and the second one. I can't remember. He said he didn't even make it all the way through. He just kind of said...
Okay, I
get it.
I get it. I see what you're doing.
Yeah. Okay. And that was enough. So you'd think they have another shot at it, and they do.
They do. You and I are excited about it.
There's another Sherlock Holmes film coming out. Except it's starring Will Ferrell and Watson is John C. Reilly. And man, I
couldn't be more excited about a Sherlock Holmes film than I am this one.
It's like it's what you're just saying. Like make a parody of something. Everything has to be a big joke now.
It's
you can't.
Be.
So
we were against it just a minute ago. We were kind of like, why did they do that? And then we're like, oh yeah, that's gonna be funny.
Well, I hope this is. It's John C. Reilly and it's Brühl.
It's Brühl. I mean, I love Step Brothers. And the more I watch Step Brothers...
Step Brothers is very funny.
When I first watched Step Brothers, Will Ferrell was kind of where I was at.
Yeah.
the more I see it, John C. Reilly's where I'm at. Yeah. You know, I'm like, I'm watching him and seeing how funny he is. So, yeah, anything those two are in together. Talladega Nights didn't get me, though. So maybe it'll be more like Talladega Nights for me.
That was a hard one for me to get to. I'm not
a race car.
I'm not into NASCAR.
I do like Sherlock Holmes, though.
You like Sherlock Holmes?
So this might be... I didn't want to tell anybody, but I figure if Nate's brave enough to tell everybody that he likes Sherlock Holmes,
true.
Then I can man up, too.
Okay, you're right. So the chances of getting like a legitimate Sherlock Holmes movie are just shrinking rapidly every time
what
they do something
like
this. What
about the Benedict Cumberbatch? Is he like that?
I think you said it's okay, but that's not a period piece. It's a modern, and Lucy Liu is Watson, right?
No.
Or is that a different, that's the BBC?
That's the one with Hackers guy in it.
Okay, that's right.
Guy from Hackers.
See, they're doing that,
too. The Cumberbatch one's got, what's his name, from The Hobbit in there.
Oh, right.
As Watson.
Is that the BBC one?
That's the BBC one. The other one is
American
that a
period,
television.
Is that a period piece? Right.
Okay. I don't know. I've never seen it.
I get the feeling that's Modern Tomb.
Yeah, I don't know.
So that property, I think, is in public domain. I mean, it's getting a lot of stuff. There's stuff, but
it's a recognizable thing that probably don't have to pay a whole lot. If anything.
But to get that serious detective story, you know, and to put on that iconic hat with the pipe and really give it the treatment becomes less more of a pipe dream as they keep busting out these comedies and these, you know, these big action films. And
I wonder how if he picked up that 7% Solution comic adaptation. Nicholas Meyer's Sherlock Holmes book.
I doubt it.
7% Solution, they just did a comic adaptation, and my friend Scott Tipton helped do the comic adaptation of it. He should, if Nate's listening to this, which I hope he is, he should really check that out.
You know he is.
It looked good. I flipped through it as it came through, and I was like, wow, this looks like a fun book.
Yeah.
And I meant to pick up the trade, and I don't know if it ever came to the shop. I'd have to look. I also really love that old young Sherlock Holmes movie from the 80s. I used to love that growing up. It had, like, the very first kind of CGI character with the stained glass came together and formed this knight.
I never saw that.
It was really good. You should go back and watch that. Young Sherlock Holmes. It's a very fun movie.
All right.
I watched that as much as I would say watch Goonies or Monster Squad or one of those films of the 80s. I watched.
I like those Sherlock movies.
Holmes. Young Sherlock Holmes, man. It's a fun movie.
I like Young.
Young
Hercules. Yeah. So Young Hercules that Arnold.
Oh
movie
yeah,
movie.
That was really good. Yeah. All right, so we didn't talk about this last time, and we just talked about Rob Liefeld a little bit. So let's talk about the Rob Liefeld seven-figure deal.
Oh, I forgot! I forgot about that.
Extreme Cinematic Universe. So Rob Liefeld signed a seven-figure deal to turn a bunch of his cruddy creations into movies, and the only ones that you actually would recognize, Youngblood and Profit, aren't part of the deal.
Right?
It's guys like Bloodwolf and Brigade, and all these guys that were part of the big Image comics boom time, where anything those guys did could sell, and are now rotting away in back rooms of comic shops that aren't even worthy of the quarter bins. These books are terrible. Just rip-offs of anything you could think of.
We're looking
90s
up,
extreme
We're looking
look.
Up Brigade covers, and every character on there is basically
a
rip-off
of
something
character.
Else. There's a Batman rip-off.
It's a Batman rip-off, and a Deadpool rip-off. It's like, and it really comes across as some movie guys wanting to produce movies, looking at Deadpool and going, Rob Liefeld, what else has that guy done?
Let's look that character.
Let's look him up.
Let's see what else he's got
that we can maybe turn into something like a Deadpool. And getting the money together to go after and think they can make a creative cinematic universe based on this other stuff, and not knowing that this other stuff is complete garbage that nobody wants a movie from. Nobody is sitting there going with their Brigade comics and a long box going, one day there's going to be films of this. It's really going to be awesome when I have my Blood Wolf movie.
Well, somebody might be. But
Rob Liefeld.
But
is.
That's
about it.
You'd be way in the minority.
Seven-figure deal. I don't even care if it's only $1 million. That's $1 million too many.
The real headline is some loser forks over seven figures
for Brigade,
for
and Blood
rights
Wolf and
to
Regen and 25 cent
bin comics.
We don't even put those in the 25 cent bin because we know that's just going to take up space.
What are you doing? 10 cent?
I think we ended up just you know, there was like some comic shop that was like buying out old collections, and we sent up a bunch of them that way because they don't even sell in the 25-cent bin. They don't. They just rot.
I know. I was at Half Price, and I was flipping through their 49, their 50 cents there, but it was just, you know, it's loaded.
It's absolutely loaded. It's nothing but that crud. Nobody wants it.
I'll have to come to the comic shop and flip through your 25-cent bin since you've purged them.
I don't believe they're in there anymore.
I hope not.
I don't know for sure.
I hope not.
But anytime I put stuff in the 25-cent bin, it's not been that stuff because it was just like... I mean, the back room was filled with it.
Right.
I mean, just... long boxes filled with it. And we did this huge purge to those guys. So there's a chance that there's still some stuff left in the 25-cent bin from when they were in there to begin with, but they're not in the back anymore. So once they're gone, they're gone.
That's good. That's good.
Just terrible. Terrible books.
Really awful.
Nobody wants that.
Kudos
to Rob Liefeld, though.
Hey!
For pulling off the deal of the century, man.
Yeah, he chased it down, and he tracked it down and put it down.
Man.
I like your scenario, though, where
the guy was asleep.
It's a billionaire who went into a coma in the 90s.
1993.
Had the idea, went into a coma, immediately comes out and says, oh.
Call Rob Liefeld.
Give me the phone.
Do I still have all my money? Call Rob Liefeld.
Yeah.
How much have I got left? There's only about $1 million left. Spend it all.
Speaking of comics, I came across, I love this. I'm going to just share the story just because I love this sort of thing.
The paper?
That's next. That's okay. On my list. I was looking at in the bins at Half Price Books, and I come across this little title called Steel Town Rockers.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
It's a Marvel comic.
Yep.
The artwork is solid. It's like a
Wasn't like Beast in one of those or something like that?
I don't know. There was only 6 issues.
I can't remember.
Beast might have been, but there was, I only got the one issue, the first issue.
Yeah.
But the art is cool. It's a 1990, so it still looks like it's from the 80s.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's just about this little band. It's just a little nothing comic that Marvel put out back then. I love those kind of finds, you know, those kind of... like, oh, I never even heard of this. I didn't know about this.
Now it's almost like they're trying to manufacture that again,
yeah.
And it doesn't work.
That's a problem, I think, with just media in general. It's just, you know, trying to recapture a nostalgia, but it's not coming honest, you know?
Like, they're putting out books like Fool Killer, Slapstick, stuff that was, like, in the 90s, where it was, like, a new thing. Where it was like, ooh, here's this new in the 90s. If you had that Marvel trading card set back then, there was a set that was, like, Rookies. And it had, like, Slapstick and Fool Killer and all these guys, Solo, and now they've got books again. Like, they're trying to go back and go, well, these were popular back then. We tried this back then. Let's try it again
and see
if we sell them now. And it's nobody wants that now. Right. Like, nobody wants it now because it was unique and different and something new back then, and you could pretty much try anything back then. And now you just are like, oh, well, we'll just put that out again and see if that works.
Well... I'm going to speculate on maybe another problem that might be contributing to that, and this will lead us into this next topic that we were talking about. So, do you think that maybe it's just modern comics? I know we have a lot of comics readers are listening, and I know that people are still picking up new books, but when I go into the comic shop, and you work there, I don't work there, but when I go there... The walls, the stacks of comics are coming off the shelves.
They're falling off.
There's no room to hold all of the titles. And that might be partly because of all the variant covers and things like that. But I think it's also, you know, the feel of the comic is gone.
Yep.
Am I wrong about this? I mean, you have high gloss paper, digital coloring, and... $4 price points on
the price points is huge.
On a
there's all the other there's another thing that contributes to it. A lot of times, and this, I mean, I'm still agreeing with everything you say, but there's another thing that contributes to it is that sometimes publishers, especially Marvel, will overship. Like, say we only order 10, they'll go, "Oh, we're going to give you 30 of it," and they'll give you another 20 copies, thinking that it's almost like padding their numbers to say, "Oh, we shipped." A million copies, or not a million, but let's say 200,000 copies of this book. Well, yeah, you gave us 20 free copies, though.
I see.
It's thinking that we'll somehow be able to promote your garbage, and this is a garbage book that nobody wants. So now we're going to have 20 extra copies of this book that we didn't want. We only wanted 10 of in the first place.
Yeah.
Or it'll be a thing where if we order X amount, it's returnable. or you know, you have to order X amount to be able to order X amount of the next issue.
I see.
So those are other contributing factors to it, but it all spells down to, you know, marketing gimmicks and you know, not actually putting out a good product that could sell off the shelves. It was a good product, and people read the book and went, "This is a great book." Then you wouldn't have those stacks there because other people would tell other people, like, "You should really pick up this book because it was really good," or there'd be, you know, people online talking about it, or, you know, you'd pick up the next issue and the next issue and the next issue. And it's just a matter of bad books, bad materials used to print them, all looking the same, overshipping. It's just that variant cover syndrome where every book's got to have multiple covers for them to hit the numbers they need to hit. Preying on the guys that have to have it all.
Right.
It's just, it stinks. And double shipping, too. DC did this big thing where it was, we're making the books $2.99. We're going back down to $2.99. Mm. But you ship the book two times a month now. So your $2.99 books that would have only cost you $3.99 to stick with every month now cost you $6 to stick with every month.
I see.
Because you need to buy it twice a month to be able to get the whole story.
To keep up with the story.
Yeah.
That's...
it was so crooked.
Yeah.
It was so crooked. So it really just kind of stinks because we're no longer in a place where art and stories sell a comic. It's being part of a big storyline or being a hyped book or being, you know, we're doing something that's socially relevant that, you know, the news is going to talk about when we do this.
Right.
At no point in the equation do I ever hear, "Oh, this book has got a really good story and a really good art team and it's a really solid read." It's so rare to hear that anymore.
Yeah.
Where somebody comes in and says that it's more about like, "Oh, this character's going to die soon," or, "Oh, this character is, you know, they're revealing that this is actually this person is actually of another, you know, ethnicity now, where they've changed it just to change it." It's a shame, man.
Yeah.
It really is a shame.
Well, I find it ironic, being in that, you know, we have comic readers and comic books are probably more accepted now than
totally.
Ever. We've got the movies and everything.
We've talked about it before. You can go to Target and buy nothing but superhero t-shirts.
You can buy, yeah.
Couldn't do that in the 80s, man.
No, you couldn't.
No way.
You couldn't do it that probably 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It's
in really
between
the movie
time.
Boom that's made it totally socially acceptable to be
right.
a comic geek, you know, like... That's cool. I mean, the Big Bang Theory show, I mean,
it's been on for nine seasons.
Yeah, they're poking fun
seasons.
At it, but look how long it's lasted. Yeah.
Well, it's made it more acceptable in some ways. But on that same note, some good news. Independent comic book publisher Alterna Comics has announced that they're going back to newsprint for their pages, and they're going to have the thin, still semi glossy covers, and they're going to $1 to $1.99 price point for these titles. Now, I looked them up, and I personally didn't see any titles. Well, there might be one or two that I would pick up, and that's the thing. I would give them a shot for a dollar, maybe even $1.99. I'd say, yeah, I'll take a chance on this
because I think they're trying to recognize. They're trying not only in the feel of the book. Like the physical feel of the book. Hopefully what they're going to try and do, that's just a sign of other things, and not just a gimmick, that they really want to return to the feel, not only physically, but when you read it, what you felt like reading an old comic.
Right.
You know, like that you got a cool story, and you didn't feel like you had to read 13 other issues to read this one story. Even if it was part of a story, you still got your money's worth out of that one book.
I hope so.
It's a total package,
I hope so. But from looking at what they have, they don't seem like they're doing like these giant series. I mean, these are independent artists, independent writers, and comic books and stuff. So they're could just be like one and done. And they're saying like, here's a batch of books that we're going to put out in this way, and make available. And if you want them, great.
I'm gonna ask Bob to order me.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's gonna order for the shop or not, because you know it's always a risk,
right?
Ordering for the shop because you don't know anymore. It's just, it really stinks. Especially, I saw this post on Facebook yesterday from a comic shop. I think it was Pack Rat Comics. And they had a stack of books sitting there. And a guy was sitting next to it with an angry face. And they had a printout that said $1,481 worth of comics where customers got into the subscription service, asked for these books, and then just didn't pick them up. Right. 3 months of books, never picked them up. And that will kill a comic shop. I mean, that is killing comic shops. Yeah. I know the books aren't very good right now. We are all aware of it. Marvel and DC are putting out some of the worst books, in my opinion, that they've ever put out. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that you can just hose your comic shop. You can't go, I want Batman, Nightwing, Captain America, and this. And I want to sign up for the subscription service, and I want you to pull the books for me. I get 10% off or whatever your comic shop discount is. And the comic shop then orders them for you. Because we have to order 3 months in advance for every book. So we have 3 months of time where you're telling us, hey, you're coming. And so that 3 months, we've already ordered all those books. So they're coming no matter what. So if you just don't show up, you go, I'm done collecting comics. You don't call your shop. You don't give them advance warning. You don't do any of those things. You've just really screwed a small business. Like yeah. And that's a lot of money for a comic shop. $1,400 out of one file, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So if every one of those people that just decides, I don't want it, if you just told your shop, even if you just told them that the next time you weren't coming in, they could at least put those books out on the shelf and have a chance to sell them. So yeah, it really stinks that the comic shops have to take these gambles on people like that, especially that they count on to be able to make these orders. So it's tough to take a gamble on these smaller companies because, you know, most of the guys that are buying right now are the guys that have to buy every Batman and have to buy every Wonder Woman and have to buy every Justice League.
Yeah,
and maybe it doesn't really matter how the story is; they're just buying it anyway. So a little company like this that comes in, if you want these books, tell your comic shop. Don't just expect it to be there because they can't take that chance. And if you tell them you want them to order it, please pick it up. Yeah. Don't just come in and say, I would really like to check those out, and then never show up again because that's a jerk move. Mm-hmm. You don't tell someplace, please order this for me, and then just never show up. It's not cool. And I'm not speaking as an employee of Queen City Comics because I'm not really an employee. I just go and help out.
Yeah.
You know, I give Bob a lunch break. But I see the things that are going on, and I'm like, man, that really stinks that people would do to these guys. Because they're cool guys, you know? Like, they're nice guys, and they want to help you out, and they want to do things for you. But to just leave them holding the bag? That's not cool, man. Yeah. That's not cool at all. So this company, I'm going to tell Bob to order them for me. I want to at least check out a couple of the books that they do. And if you're interested, go to your local comic shop and tell them you want to check them out. And then go pick them up. Actually, go pick them up. And I'm sure it'll make your comic shop quite happy that they've taken a chance on something and you came and picked it up, and you might see other things inside your comic shop that you might want to check out. Give some of these smaller guys a chance because I tell you what, man, that's all I'm checking out right now on a consistent basis is IDW, Dark Horse, the smaller publishers. Because, man, it's rough for Marvel and DC, in my opinion. I mean, there's other people that tell me that Superman's a really good read right now, but I've flipped through the stuff and I can't do it. Like, I can't. Maybe if it looked like an old book and maybe I'd give it a chance, but I don't know. It's almost like a jilted lover.
Yeah.
You know, they've done so much bad stuff lately that it's hard for me to even give it a chance anymore.
Yeah, I understand.
All right, that's enough about
Alterna that. Comics. Check them
Alterna
out.
Alterna Comics. Where are the peanut butter cream pies?
What do you mean?
I usually keep those here on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
My mom usually picks them up and says, take these in. Have your friends seen them? Can't find them. She can't find them.
Uh-oh.
I don't see them. If anybody has seen them, I don't know if they're gone from here or if they've gotten rid of them or what's going on, but those things are great. The peanut butter cream pies are great. If they're getting rid of something, it shouldn't be the peanut butter cream pies.
Wonder what happened to them.
I hope nothing happened to them.
Oh, boy.
I hope that those are just taking a break.
Oh, boy.
Taco Bell is going to introduce
Taco Bell?
They're introducing a new taco at the end of this month.
Yeah.
The Naked Chicken Chalupa, where the shell is made out of fried chicken.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat it.
I know you're going to eat that.
I'm going to try that.
Yeah.
Kudos to you for Taco Bell for always being the innovator. Above any other fast food joint,
they're always trying stuff. That is why they win the fast food wars.
That's exactly why they win the fast food wars. Yeah. That's why in Demolition Man, there is only Taco Bell.
That's right.
Because they keep trying. It doesn't matter. Sometimes it doesn't work. This might not work.
They say, hey, we're going to do this for a couple months. You want to try something new?
You want to try something different and new? Come over and try this ridiculous shell chicken that... I mean, chicken doesn't come in shell shapes.
It doesn't.
We're taking some kind of chicken, destroying it, and molding it into a shape. You're going to eat it.
We're going to take a chicken byproduct
and shoot it into this form.
We're going to shoot it into a taco form and bake it until it's hard and then put meat inside of it.
And we're going to call it fried chicken.
And you're going to have some.
It's a chicken paste we're going to inject into a mold. that looks like a taco. It's nothing but a gimmick.
And you're going to eat it.
This isn't wholesome at all. This is a gimmick food. You're going to eat it. You're going to be there the day we have it. And I am going to be there the day they have it.
You will be there.
When I told Matt about it, he went, ooh. And I said, oh, we're eating that. And he said, oh, okay. And that was it.
That's how
it works.
That's how they get the sales.
At first you go, ooh. And then you go, oh, okay, I'll try it.
Yeah.
I'm trying it.
Try it, man. Try it.
What you got?
Well, I wanted to just comment back to toys for just a second. The Superman versus Muhammad Ali 2-pack looks really cool.
It looks so cool, man. NECA, their first like 7-inch scale DC Comics comic book figure.
Yeah.
Everything else has been either movie or video game tied in.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's reusing a lot of parts in the Christopher Reeve
7-inch. I'm
sure. Man, it looks cool.
It's really neat looking.
I'm probably going to pick that up.
It's really neat looking.
It's got they do that translate art into figure.
Yeah.
Or video game into figure better than anybody else.
Really well.
Nobody else does as good as they do.
Yeah.
Those NECA Ninja Turtles are still the best Ninja Turtles ever made.
Yeah.
And their second wave looked as... I mean, the villains pack looked just as good. But anything where they translate something into something else, it looks great. Anything they do 2D to 3D.
Yeah.
And those are stellar. The packaging is so cool, man.
Very
That's
cool.
It's a really neat pack. Really neat.
Nice feel.
Saw Mad Max Fury Road. You let me borrow it.
That's on my list, too. I gave it another shot. Give it another shot.
I will say I enjoyed the film.
Yep.
I thought visually it was amazing. And to know that they did almost everything practical that they could was astounding. Yeah. I mean, it was an astoundingly great film to watch.
Really
like,
neat.
It was really neat. It's not a Mad Max movie, in my opinion. And you
scarcely.
Agree.
It's, Yeah.
It's a Furiosa movie, and that's fine. I don't mind a Furiosa movie. She was a cool character.
Yeah.
But I would have liked to have a Mad Max movie. If it was called a Mad Max movie, I want more Max.
For the first Mad Max in like 20 years, 25 years.
I'd like to have more Max.
You could have a Max movie.
He got to do some cool stuff, especially the last sequence where he's doing a lot of cool things. There's one sequence where he goes off to do something, take care of all these things, and he just comes back.
There's a big explosion. He's
you don't get to see all the cool things he does.
Yeah, he's going to get some supplies or something.
Yeah, we got to see plenty of the cool things that Furiosa did.
Right.
But in the Mad Max movie, one of the coolest scenes of Max,
where he's gonna
you
go.
You don't get to even know what happened.
Kick some butt and take their stuff.
That's it. You don't get to see it.
You don't get to see that.
So as a Furiosa film, completely successful, awesome, great movie. As a Mad Max film, didn't cut the mustard. If that's even a saying.
Right.
It didn't cut the mustard for me.
It's a saying, I think.
Sorry. If we had already mentioned it, brought Max back, Tom Hardy, who was awesome as Max,
he was great.
If we'd have done a Tom Hardy Mad Max movie that focused on Max first, and then we did Mad Max Furiosa the movie, that would have been great. Yeah. I'd been totally fine with it. But it's like the whole Ben Affleck's Batman in Batman vs. Superman. Had we done a movie that introduced Ben Affleck's Batman first and then put him into Batman vs. Superman, I think it would have been more successful for him in that film. Although he was the highlight of the movie, just like Mad Max for me was the highlight of the other movie.
Yeah.
Still, it's... You gotta kind of introduce the main character, and... I know we have the other movies of Mad Max, but we haven't seen him in so long, and this is a new guy playing him. Maybe we'll do the actual Max.
It's called Mad Max.
Did you watch that black and white one on that set?
I watched a portion of it. And George Miller's statement at the beginning rings true that he said that he likes the look of it because the black and white really makes it really brings some things out.
Yeah.
But in some scenes, a lot of stuff was lost because in that movie, there's so much relies on color. There's big, vast open spaces and you have sky and earth. It's just blue and browns, basically.
Yeah.
And so in the black and white, that's gone. Really, I mean,
that's
it kind of washes out. So some of the stuff like the close up stuff, all the details, like the villain's mask and everything like that is like that. This has a lot of detail and contrast. Looks great.
Yeah.
But the movie, you know, that the color was one of the things in that movie that really kind of sells the whole thing
to me.
It's just so vibrant. It has a very it's very rich.
I think it's neat that they included it and they did it. You know, because a lot of people are asking for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, even one of the driving things in the movie is finding the green place.
Right.
And there was a bit of a shot of green that you catch earlier, and that wouldn't have the same impact, that seeing that green at the beginning.
I didn't make it that far, so I don't know. what that looked like, but yeah. it would be black and white.
It would just be black and white. So that would make it kind of tough to relate.
So his statement also was that he was working on Road Warrior, and this guy who did the score would watch these uncolorized versions because I guess it was cheaper to get black and white print. So so he would watch that and thought that it looked great in black and white, and he always wanted to do that, and that's why they did the black and chrome. Oh, okay. But that made me think, dude. Put out
the black and white versions of the old ones.
Put out the four movies in black and white. Yeah. You can do that.
I think Mad Max
will look great as a black and white
really
movie.
Cool black and white.
And I think Road Warrior, although there's a lot of desert, would look pretty cool.
Mad Max
will look really cool. And that's a slower movie too, as far as like it's not so many quick cuts and that tends to work really well for black and white because it builds up. So George Miller, if you're listening, which I know you're not.
Oh, he is.
That's right.
He's one of the five.
Right. Man, don't just talk about it. You can run it through iMovie right now and make it black
and white.
I
can turn my TV to black and white. I can just make it. I can do the home version.
You can do the home version, but you shouldn't have to.
Shouldn't have to though. If I mess with the settings on my TV, I'm not going to get back to what
you'll
I like
never
right
get
now,
it. You'll never get it back. Right, that's why I'm afraid to mess with my settings.
I'm not going
to
touch it. It looks good to me right now. So it
looks pretty good.
Don't want to mess with
just
it.
Just let it be.
The Mighty Mighty from Power Rangers movie.
Yeah. We talked about that, Dustin.
We did. We talked about the trailer. Okay. But it's had one trailer, and it comes out in March.
Yeah.
This is supposed to, and the toys are already out.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be like a big movie.
Yeah.
We haven't even seen one trailer that has the main things of Power Rangers, which is
the Power Rangers right.
And the Zords.
Right.
What's going on with that movie? Like, are they...
I don't know.
What's happening here? Is that
they
it
probably
seems like
figure
you want to sell those things?
They probably figure, look, you're either going to see this or you're not.
Yeah, you're going to go for a Power Ranger world or not.
You like a Power World.
You like to go into Power World. You like to go into Saban's Power World. You either go or you won't.
You either come here or you
if
won't.
If I show you a Zordon, it's not going to change your mind. You know?
Yeah.
You either buy a ticket or you won't for a Power World. So yeah, I think it's weird though, man.
That's
one
a
trailer.
Weird. Yeah.
And I mean, all the merchandise is out, and
right.
It's got like a month till it comes out.
Right,
month and a half. That's weird.
It's weird.
It's real weird, man.
Power Rangers is weird to me.
Power Rangers is weird. We've talked about it before. Yeah. We're too old to know what Power Rangers.
I don't
is
know
all
what
about.
It's about.
Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Uh huh.
I let you borrow the first season.
I haven't watched it.
You haven't watched any of it yet, but I want to talk about the season 2 finale, and I'm not going to ruin anything for you. I'm not going to tell you plot points.
Don't ruin it.
But I will say this. When I watched the season 2 finale, it was like I was watching a different show. I watched the show and I was like, this is not as good as everything else that I've watched up to this point.
Yeah.
Why is this such a different feel than everything else? And I watched the whole episode and it ended. I was like, that just wasn't good. Like, it wasn't... That ended badly.
Well, did
and
you
I kept
figure
waiting
it out?
For something to happen like, oh, this is a dream sequence or this is something else. And it didn't. It just played out the way it played out. I'm like, that was bad. That was really bad. And so I looked online afterwards, like, trying to figure out why it was so bad. And come to find out that the showrunner, which is Chris DiGregorio, or I don't know what his name is. Sorry. He did these interviews. And a lot of people won't know this because they don't, you know, they may just watch the show and not realize that, hey, I should check and see why that was bad. And that's why I'm talking about it. He did this interview where he said he departed the show before the season 2 finale because it was just too hard to work with the producer, Rob Tappert.
Mm.
Too many disagreements. It's too hard fighting him conceptually to what he wanted the show to be and what him as the showrunner pushed for the show to be. He said, I gave up. I couldn't do it anymore. Couldn't fight. So the season 2 finale, you see, I'm incredibly disappointed by it. And it's not what I wanted it to be. And he laid out this whole thing of what the show should have been, and it was so much better, and it fit with everything that came before in the season, but it's not what Rob Tappert, the producer, wanted. He couldn't back off. He put his hands in it, and that's what we got. And it's a real shame. Like, when you eventually see it, I want to talk to you about it, because it's such a departure from everything else. And, I mean, he's gone from the show now. This guy's not coming back. They're bringing in a new showrunner next season. And it's a guy that was, like, part of Daredevil and maybe Heroes. I don't know what all shows he was on. But the first guy was in shows that sort of have a satirical feel, like Chuck, and there were a couple other ones I can't remember. And that one's more serious and into, like, internal, what does this character think of? And it, listening back to the other things this guy was talking about, was like, I didn't want to get into that. I don't want to show the evolution of Ash and him become a more rounded character. That's not what you want out of Ash.
Right.
You want Ash to just be Ash.
Right.
You know, that's, if this character evolves and you start to get him thinking of, oh, what would happen if I did this? And I really care. Then it's not Ash anymore.
Well, that's what every, that's the avenue that every property is taking, new or old. And it's like,
exactly.
You can't make everything the same and expect to get
totally
different results.
That's what was so refreshing. I was texting Rich as I was watching, and I was like, man, I love this because Ash is just staying Ash. Like, he's not, he hasn't grown as a character. He's still just Ash. And that to me is great.
Yeah.
That we don't always have to have a character that has an arc. And it sounds like Rob Tappert was pushing for an arc and to have more of a, let's see what he thinks about this. And listening to the commentaries of other ones that Tappert's on, he would say things like, I didn't really think this was, this worked. And I didn't think this worked. And I would go back and think, well, I loved that. So every time that he's coming in and saying he didn't like the people that were playing Pablo and Kelly, he didn't agree with the casting of those, that Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell loved them. I love those two. They're great in the show. He didn't like them. He didn't like this one scene they put in the show that called back to the Evil Dead. Didn't like it. I really hated this scene. Loved it. Didn't like this one scene that happens in season two. The showrunner had to push for it to stay in there. And he said, I won that battle, but I lost other ones. Loved that scene. Thought it was hilarious. Thought it was very, you know, over the top Evil Dead. And he just kept saying things like, well, that's not Evil Dead. Well, that's not Evil Dead. Maybe you don't know what Evil Dead is.
Yeah.
You've been there since the beginning, but maybe you truly don't know what it is. Maybe you're not quite as important to Evil Dead as Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell are. You were just kind of there for the ride. And now you think you know what's best. And I think the season two finale shows you don't know what's best. Because it was bad. I mean, real bad.
So now, who knows what season three is going
to
be like,
Who knows, man? I'm kind of worried. Like, if it's more in line with season two, then I won't be able to stick with it. The end of season two. And that'd be a real shame, because the 19 episodes before are a lot of fun. I mean, they're very adult, but they're a lot of fun, especially watching the Ash character, and just Bruce Campbell being Ash is hilarious. And if other people that are listening to this show watch the show, I'd like to hear what they thought about that season two finale, too, if it was as jarring and different as I felt it was and as disappointing as I felt it was, or maybe I'm just reading too much into it, and maybe they thought it was fine. I don't know. We don't get a lot of feedback on the show anyway. Why am I even asking?
Yeah, who cares?
Who cares?
Who cares?
Cut it, Denny.
Cut it, Denny.
So if you do want to comment, though, go to facebook.com/actionfeatures or go to theactionfeatures.net after this podcast and leave it as a comment, because I really am curious to see what other people thought about it.
Who isn't?
All right. That's everything on my list.
That's everything you have?
I think so.
Well, I want to say one thing.
We're already at.
Yeah, it's about time.
2 minutes.
I'm going to squeeze a couple things in. One being, I got a whoopee cushion for Christmas, and I never bothered to look at what was on a whoopee cushion. I think they're printing the same thing that's been printed since, like, the 30s or whatever.
The more I think about it, the more I remember that as a kid.
Okay, so there's whoopee cushion, and it's got a little illustration of a woman sitting down on the couch, and there's sounds coming out, says, poo, poo, and the guy in the background is disgusted. So it says, when anyone sits down, it emits a real Bronx cheer.
People should start using Bronx cheer.
I'd never heard the term Bronx cheer in regard to
a
fart.
Bronx
before.
Cheer right about now.
Yeah, a Bronx cheer.
A silent Bronx cheer.
Fantastic.
That's good.
And the last thing I have is a letter to Mattel.
Oh, look at this.
When Blaze expressed, last time I saw him in person over Christmas, he expressed a keen interest in the letters.
I'm having a second one
from Mattel.
I have
three
They're
or
holidays,
four of them.
So I've got to get them going.
I'm not going
to
eat too many more of those, you know. So the next, this for this week, is the next installment for the letter to Mattel. Dear sirs, Mattel, well, it appears the ball is dropped in the other court. Since you have not yet responded to my last letter of suggestion, let me sprinkle a little sugar on your sweet tooth. 1. Tyor can roll anywhere in his wheel form. 2.
Wheel form.
2.
Good pause.
Molecular can change from molecules to atoms in seconds. 3. Brave Man. 4. Large Ore. He is large
Brave
ore.
Brave Man gets nothing. Self-explanatory.
Self-explanatory. 4. Large Ore. He is large ore than He-Man's other foes. This well is far from dry, my friends. I need to know your answer soon so I can make some moves. Yours truly.
Make some moves.
I gotta
Where's
make,
it going?
I gotta make financial moves. I gave all these ideas.
Those ideas. You gotta take them somewhere else other than Mattel.
I have all these ideas, and if, you know, if they're not gonna pounce, I can't sit around forever waiting to hear back from Mattel. So.
That large war idea.
Large war.
It's a nut that's waiting to be cracked, you know?
Yeah.
And if they're not gonna crack it, somebody else is.
It's a big, fat, you know? Brazil nut, and I just, I need to get to the goods inside.
Crack that nut.
Yeah.
So. Hey, man. That's, good luck with your nuts getting cracked.
That's money on the table.
Hey, it's sitting there. Right there. All right, is that everything?
That's everything I have.
All right. Well, it's an hour. It's good enough, right?
All right, yes. That's what good enough. That's what we do.
Don't ask for more.
What do you want? You've had 6 years.
Jeez, calm down. You've had 5 years. You're going on 6 years.
You're
going
to get 6 years. What
you
do you want?
You might get 6 years.
All right.
All right, so this is Action Features Having.
Who cares?
So what? Who cares? Cut it, Denny.
Who cares?
Cut it, Denny. 30 seconds.